Hi, this is Dr. Lisa Solcenti with the Dr. Lisa Solcenti podcast, and we are going to be talking today about colds and flus and maybe a little bit of allergies. We have a question that came in with the Ask Dr. Lisa on my blog. It says, Dr. Lisa, my daughter seems to be sick quite often. She gets over one cold only to catch the next cold that follows. What can we do naturally to help prevent and relieve cold and flus? So this is a great topic, especially winter season and rolling into spring seasons. This can be one of those messy times for us, for our kids. So the winter, of course, snow can bring the magical playing outside and making snowmen and things like that. But you also, right, can bring viruses and colds and flus. But springtime is the same thing. It brings the warming of the earth and the blooming of the flowers. It's a great time to finally get outdoors and get sun, which is super important. If you haven't listened to my podcast on the benefits of vitamin D, because that's all about sunshine. But it also, springtime can be a year of when colds and flus seem to still creep into our houses and kind of hit our families hard. And allergies are one of those things too that can start creeping in because things are blooming, and sometimes it's sinuses and allergies. You don't know if it's a cold, it goes back and forth and it gets a little bit confusing, right? But the whole thing, no matter what it is this whole process creates a immune system response in the body, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But use it or lose it. So we always say when you're using your immune system and not overusing it, because this question was that she keeps catching colds over and over again. We don't want that. But when we do catch colds, we do make our immune system stronger and our self-defense. So it's not a bad thing in that way. Our bodies do have an innate intelligence within that provides us with this inner knowledge. It knows how to fight and heal from colds and flus. So that's really, really good to know that most of them, you're going to get over them. The body's going to fight them, but sometimes it gets a little difficult. And although this body's innate intelligence is very complex, there are some natural steps and remedies that you can do to help your body fight these or at least lessen the symptoms. So I'm going to go over top 14 tips I have. And I do have this in a blog post. I have a blog post that is called Ask Dr. Lisa, where people ask me questions. Sometimes they email me or text me, or it becomes a question that's very common in my practice, you know, when I'm seeing patients. So this was one that came through. I'm going to actually jump down to the bottom of the post because I want to talk about the body and the different systems in the body, and then I'll go into some of the steps that you can do. If you do find yourself or your child getting sick often or having difficulty coming over a cold, so it's not just that, you know, they get the cold and they're good, you know, a week goes by and they're fine, and they only get them twice a year or something like that. If you feel that this is just something that you can't put your finger on, and there's some maybe a chronic health issue going on, or they just don't have the strongest immune system, especially during these certain times of year. Sometimes you get seasonal bronchitis or laryngitis or sinus problems or stomach issues. Let's talk about that. 80% of your immune system is in the gut, and that is something that you need to remember and realize that 80% of the immune system is in the gut. The gut, as we've talked about, if you're not sure, listen to some of my podcasts about the microbiome, about what a leaky gut is. I discuss all this, but the gut is a huge surface area of within the body, the largest surface areas in the body. So we're talking 20 something feet long. If you were to take it out, that the immune system is there. If we're talking about the gut, we want to talk about the gut wall. And if you're inside the gut and you're touching the wall, you're thinking about the wall, try to think about that. Right under the cellular layers there is the immune system. So we have a bunch of things in the gut wall, particularly certain proteins, that their job is to control what crosses the gut wall. So you're going to have vitamins, right, that are coming from your food inside your gut, and they're going to cross the gut wall and get into the bloodstream. When that gut wall gets damaged, it does a couple things. One thing is it gets weaker. It gets more permeable. Things start crossing from the gut into the bloodstream that shouldn't, and that's the term leaky. The gut also in the wall, because the immune system's right there, it gets activated. And that's what I wanted to bring apart, is that once you start activating this immune system in the gut, you have several things that happen. We have inflammatory particles that are released that can be in the gut, outside the gut. They can be into the bloodstream, and they can make us not feel well. So now you're using your immune system over and over, and it becomes a chronic thing. This might not make us feel well, It also can do several things like release histamine. So when you're releasing histamine, you know, histamine is like allergies, colds, sinuses, things like that, phlegmy. It's going to lower your immune system's ability to fight other things. So this is what's another key thing. If somebody's getting sick a lot or can't overcome colds, it could actually be because of a leaky gut. A leaky gut can actually impair or reduce the immune system's ability to fight things off. I'm not going to get into all that right now. I just wanted to bring up that if you are finding yourself getting sick often and you're looking at the sinuses or you're looking at a certain area of the body that's the symptom, you might also want to consider going down to the gut and seeing if there's a leaky gut and there's an immune system that is being weakened due to food sensitivities. Maybe there's a lack of a gut microbiome. Maybe there's a pathogen in there. There could be several things that's going on in the gut affecting this immune system, 80% of this immune system being there. So that's the number one thing I want to talk about is the gut. Think the gut. The other thing is chiropractic is super important. That's just the one things out of the 14 things you can do is make sure you're getting adjusted, because a chiropractor can locate vertebral subluxations in the spine and the nervous system. And when you remove these subluxations, it will increase the body's ability to boost the immune system. It'll increase the body's ability or the brain's ability to communicate to the rest of the body. It's going to increase this innate intelligence, this optimal potential of the body to heal itself. So the adjustment actually will stimulate, boost T cells, immune cells, and help with a speedier recovery. And that does really, really well, colds, flus, and sinuses, allergies. That's my whole story of how I became a chiropractor was through allergies and getting adjusted. I hurt my neck, but as I was getting it physically fixed, I noticed that I wasn't getting these severe seasonal allergies and sinus infections, which would go into bronchitis, and I was getting very sick every season. So chiropractic was just amazing, and I realized all the shots I was getting medically were not the answer. So that's how I got into chiropractic. Okay, some other things you can do is eliminate dairy products for this time that you don't feel well or you feel like that there might be something going on. Now, the only way you're going to know which foods would actually cause an immune system issue or be causing you to really tax the nervous system and the immune system is a food sensitivity test. And you can go to my website or you can also listen to my podcast about food sensitivity tests. But my website, by the way, is drlisasolcenti.com. And I talk about food sensitivity tests there and, of course, in the podcast. And you can always go to my website too and book a consultation with me if you want to discuss this more further. But eliminating dairy products in the time of that you have inflammation and you're not feeling well, it's a good thing because they are foods that actually create inflammation. They produce inflammation in the body, mucus. So when you're fighting a cold, a flu, or you have some kind of allergy thing going on, they're just not the best foods for that time period. You can try an alternative plant-based milk, almond, rice milk, oat milk. You could just cut back, on the milk. You could, if you were doing yogurt, right, you could do like a non-dairy yogurt. You can do like a coconut based or an almond milk based yogurt. But I must pause here, note here that the best non-dairy alternatives might not be a great choice for you if you have a food sensitivity to it. So that's really important to know. And it's amazing that I get super excited and nerdy about this because before I was able to do the lab testing, you know, we would just tell people, get off dairy, it's not healthy, you know, get to almond milk or do oat milk or do this or do that, and that would be it. But after doing the lab testing, I realized, well, if my patient has a severe food sensitivity to almonds, I really shouldn't put them on almond milk as the alternative. So there is, that's why I have to pause, there is a little bit of room for error for me here is telling you to get off dairy, go on almond. But if you can't do almond, that's not the right one. Maybe the best one is rice or coconut. So the food sensitivity test is super important to know which foods your body's attacking and causing the leaky gut, but also taxing your immune system and causing inflammation and releasing histamine and things like that. You also want to reduce your sugar intake. So at the first sign of an illness, just reducing bad sugars from the diet, sodas, candies, cake, cookies, breads, pasta, cereals, wheat products, grains that are bleached and enriched and things like that, They weaken the immune system. So sugar is one of those things that really weakens the immune system. It can create a leaky gut, slow down the body's ability to heal itself. But I do need to note that healthy fruit sugars are jam-packed with vitamins and nutrients, super crucial in the body's ability to heal, tons of vitamins. Fruits and veggies, don't reduce those. It's the bad sugars. Take them out. Question would be, do you increase vitamin C, zinc, and selenium? Those are ones that we hear about when we're sick. So vitamin C is considered to be like the golden vitamin for preventing and speeding up recoveries from colds and flus. Also helps prevent the allergy things. Some benefits of vitamin C are protection against immune system deficiencies, cardiovascular disease, prenatal health problems, eye diseases, gum diseases, things like that. It also is a super, super food we use for the gut. Foods that you can actually start including is orange, strawberries, kiwis, pineapples, papaya, broccoli, kale, peas, and cauliflower. And again, food sensitivities, you'd have to do a food sensitivity test to know if those foods you need to avoid. Zinc is a powerhouse mineral for preventing and improving symptoms of cold and flus. It's important for enzymatic activities. It's an antioxidant. It fights things. It slows aging process. It's super, super, super important. And we do test levels, by the way. We have a vitamin test where we test over 30 minerals and vitamins and antioxidants and omegas. So we would know somebody's, this is what I always tell people, don't just supplement because I'm telling you to, or my blog tells you to, or Facebook tells you to, or your friend tells you to. You do want to get your levels tested, and you want to do intracellular testing and extracellular testing. And you can always listen to my podcast about micronutrients. But for this time being, I'm just giving you some steps of things of what you could do while you're not feeling well. But I am pausing here because you do want to know if your zinc level's low. If it's not low, you don't want to take extra zinc. And that goes for any of these vitamins. I see people just taking things. And then when I test them, I'm like, you don't need to take this. Your levels are really good or too high. Or so you really want to vitamin test you or your child before giving supplements. And also check with the medical doctor too. That I have to say through the whole entire podcast today, because, you know, I'm going to give you steps, but make sure that they don't interfere with what you're doing medically. Selenium is another, let me tell you that the zinc is found in pumpkin, cashews, chickpeas, mushrooms, beef, chicken. I think it's also in spinach. And selenium is a underrated hero. I can't tell you how much I'm learning about selenium. I have enrolled myself into a functional medicine course recently, and I just can't believe selenium is related to so many different things that I want to share with you. It gets little chatter, it really does, but it really is a powerhouse. When there's a deficiency in selenium, it can be a root cause of many major factors and health issues. It plays a huge role in thyroid. It plays a huge role in prostate. Ovaries and reproductive and fertility, definitely the immune system. That's another one. I'm thinking about these off the top of my head, but it's an antioxidant that I know lowers the oxidative stress in the body. It reduces inflammation and enhances immunity. It's just a powerhouse. It's found in Brazil nuts are like the number one, organ meats and seafood. So they're not like the favorite things that we eat. And they say Americans obtain most of their selenium from everyday staples, but I'll be honest with you, when I test, so many people are low on this one. They're not as commonly low like that people think everyone's low in like magnesium or everyone's low in zinc. It's actually not the case. Selenium is one that I find the majority of my patients low in. It is in bread, cereals, poultry, red meat, eggs, but I do want to quote that a lot of breads and cereals are fortified, which means they strip the grains of their natural nutrients. They'll bleach it, enrich it, and strip it. And then what they do is they fortify it with man-made additives. Like they fortify the cereals. So a lot of these I don't think get absorbed. If you have a leaky gut wall or a leaky gut, you might also be struggling to absorb vitamins. So we talked about that wall, and when it gets damaged, it starts letting things cross the gut wall or leak out that shouldn't be. So the gut wall becomes compromised. And a lot of times when we do micronutrient testing and we test vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and omegas and things like that, in my micronutrient testing, we'll see that there's an absorbability problem, usually due to a leaky gut. Bone broth is another thing you can do when you're not feeling well to overcome a cold. Grandma's chicken soup remedy that's made from scratch, really from good bone broth, is actually one of the best things. And it's not that conventional version using the chicken bouillon cubes or the boxed vegetable broths. It's homemade chicken broth, right? That's valuable, has valuable nutrients in form that your body can easily absorb. So healthy soups when you're weak, not feeling good. And it helps. Bone broth is one of the big supplements or things we do for a leaky gut. Echinacea is a herb. And again, you need to check with your medications and your doctor and stuff like that. But it's a great herb that you could use for about 2 weeks. You use it when you have a sign of, let's say, a cold coming on or a sinus thing or an allergy. And it's really known to boost the immune system. It increases the number of white blood cells to fight infections. It comes in a supplement form and a liquid form. For my kids and my babies, I always use the kids. Herbs for Kids was the brand I loved, but now there's a lot of them. And it was a liquid form, Echinacea. Today we use a powder form or a capsule form. When we take it the first signs of a cold or, you know, allergies or anything, and we take it for 2 weeks, and as it says on the bottle. And about after 2 weeks, they say it tends to wear off its effect. So you want to back off it for a little while and then go back to it. But Echinacea is something that we love to use. I definitely use it once we get like a sinus or a drip or something like that. It dries it right up. Go for the garlic. That's the next thing. An amazing natural immune system booster. And it's been linked to reduce infections. It's a natural antibiotic, antiviral, antimicrobial is what they call it. So it's antibiotic, antiviral, antifungal, and you put them all together and you call it an antimicrobial. It's great for preventing heart disease, strokes, cancers, infections. It can help a lot with relieving from common cold and even pathogens. When we have gut pathogens present in the gut, I should say, and bacteria and things like that, garlic is one of our go-to supplements. You can actually begin to include raw garlic in your diet and meals if it doesn't upset your stomach. It is a leaky gut happy food that we use or supplement that we use. They do have non-odorless supplements that you can use. The Herbs for Kids has a garlic drop that you can do for kids with a great antimicrobial properties. And after 20 years, I guess you say my son's going to be 25. So for 25 years, I've been putting drops of garlic oil made by Herbs for Kids in my kids' ears. So if they first sign of a cold, I would put one or two drops in each ear when they're sleeping. And due to garlic's antiviral and antibacterial properties, I have to say successfully, they've never had an ear infection ever as kids. And my oldest is 25. And I also would do an adjustment too. And we also would remove the milk, the sugar, and do the chiropractic adjustment and give the Herbs for Kids Echinacea too. So that's something we always did when the kids were having colds and worked superb. Turn up the turmeric. So turmeric, you might know, is an anti-inflammatory superfood, right? So that's something you might want to take too. It's known to ease symptoms from joint pain too, digestive troubles. It's actually a good tummy thing. Its active ingredient is curcumin, and it's one of the most powerful anti-inflammatory herbs that we have. It's recommended for serious gut and digestive issues, and we also use it for joint pain and joint inflammation. It's one of the biggest supplements, both chiropractic and digestive-wise. The next one, ginger, is a super gut food, but it also is a powerhouse for cold fighting. It's anti-inflammatory, helps to relieve sore throats quickly and boost the immune system. Zinc is actually really good for sore throats too. You have to be careful with zinc though, taking on empty stomach. And honey. Honey is another thing that we use. So good tea. I have a cold fighting tea recipe on my blog, which uses those. And if you drink some cups a day where you get the ginger in, the honey in, it really helps with colds. So vitamin C, turmeric, and ginger are a nice little blend together. If you like diffusing, you can diffuse some oils, and I happen to like to use plant therapy. I use their certified organic essential oils, and if you're not too sure which diffuser I use, you can go to the blog. Again, I have a link there for you. But I like to diffuse eucalyptus or peppermint oil when the kids aren't feeling well or I'm not feeling well. You can put like 6 drops of certified organic eucalyptus or peppermint into a diffuser and make sure you keep the diffuser clean but in their room. you could actually do that. You also could do like a little vapor rub with oils to relieve chest congestion. You can mix a few drops of eucalyptus or peppermint oil in. You can put it in shea butter. You could put it in almond oil. You could put it in anything like that. You just don't want to put the drops directly on the skin. You want to put them in some kind of butter or oil and then put that on the skin. So that works well. Tea tree oil is another one that is a germ fighter. It's an antiseptic, antiviral, antimicrobial, and it really helps with coughs and bronchial congestion and sore throats. So tea tree essential oil is an excellent disinfectant. So you could, again, put six drops into a diffuser. You could even mix this with peppermint and eucalyptus too. So many things you can do here. Plant therapy too. If you check them out, they might have a germ fighter, right? Oil that has all of these combined already for you. And again, if you want to make your own little like lotion to put on the chest, we love, you could just use coconut oil. They sell coconut oil like in an oil form. You also could do, like, I love shea butter. There's avocado butter. We make all of our skincare products with these, and you just put some drops of essential oil in it, mix it up, and then put it on your skin. So you're making like a natural Vicks rub instead of all that stuff that's in Vicks. We have a butter to soothe your aches and pains when you're sick, right? So you're not feeling well and you have aches and pains. So we have a great solution for that. It's called Soothing Muscle Butter. And we also have the Calm Body Butter. So they're two butters. And basically what they are is that we just took shea butter and then we mixed in certain essential oils that have specific plant benefits. So the Soothing Muscle is amazing. It's one of my favorites. And I use it for headaches, joint aches, pains, you know, those body muscle pains. And you get them when you have colds and flus. And you just simply rub this amazing little butter onto your aching muscles, and within 10 minutes you'll forget you were hurting. We just really love it. I put it on my neck when the headaches start. And then we have a Calm Body, which is to relieve upset digestion. You can put it on your belly. But we have had patients that love it to reduce blemishes and scars too. So that's why we call it Calm Body. The last one here is really, I went a little bit over my 20 minutes that I try to wrap this up short and sweet for you guys. But the last one, and it's probably the most obvious, but we don't do this, is get enough sleep. I can't stress this enough. When a cold or flu attacks, the body works really, really hard to battle it. And that's just battling it. But that also doesn't even include, think about it, when you're coughing, right? And you're congested and you're just coughing so hard, your body hurts, right? Your body aches, the fatigue results. So allow yourself to sleep and relax. The body doesn't need you or your child to push the limits. If you're exercising, give yourself a break and stop. If you're in a sport, stop. And this is the most common mistake that many of us make. And is that we don't rest when we're sick. And that's the one thing I say with my kids, just go rest. The ones that keep going and going and going and ignore the need to rest, they'll take quite a long, long time to get better. Cold might linger, or they might not get over it, right? Might just get to a point where it's not good. So take note the next time a person or child just can't shake a cold, you have to ask yourself, are they resting a lot? And I have to add one more thing. Maybe it's a bonus, but this one's really obvious, but I know we don't do this enough. It's just get enough liquids too. Make sure that you're drinking enough fluids, and you know, the hot teas and the broths are always good to add in too. I happen to sometimes not want to drink water because it'll make you nauseous sometimes, but I found if you drink it from a straw, that helps a little bit too. Electrolyte drinks are important during this time. And I'm not into those colored ones and all the ones full of sugars and salts and dyes, because you're actually undoing this amazing innate intelligence ability to heal itself. So make your own electrolyte drink. And you want to ask me how to do that, you can go to my website, and I have under recipes, I have electrolyte drinks there. And there's also an article there about sports drinks. So I explain why the sports drinks aren't healthy and what you can do about it and how you can make your own electrolytes. So that's really fantastic to help you with water and getting those electrolytes. I want to thank you for today. And remember, if you're going to start taking any supplements or a new lifestyle, make sure it doesn't mix with what you're taking, and always check with your medical doctor for that. Take care. Thank you.